Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's NFL draft week. Some will say the draft starts at pick four. No, no. When you're betting, every pick matters. We're going through the entire first round of the NFL draft with our guy Tom Brawley talking best bets for Thursday night's first round. Let's go, baby. Let's get in the two-point stance. All across the fantasy universe and wherever you may be, welcome to Draft Week. It's the two-point stance powered by fantasypoints.com. I'm your boy, Brian Drake, ready to make some cash. I know you guys are too. Maybe your tax return just came in. There wasn't as much in it as you wanted to. Let's make your honey at home a little happier and make some cash this week, because there is money to be made with my man, Joe Dolan, the managing editor of fantasypoints.com. And Joe, we're bringing back Brawley. He's doing so well grinding these props. I hear him on morning shows all across America. We just did the kind of get your feet wet version of this last week. Now we're diving in full steam. We got Schefter dropping nuggets. You know, Peter Schrager's getting his mock out there. I think we can really make some hay of what's going to happen here in the NFL draft. What's up, brother?
Dude, I'm doing just fine. I'm ready for the NFL draft. I'm been not grinding away the way Tom has on props, because I live in a Philistine state here in South Carolina, but you can still find you. Oh, that's right. Pennsylvania doesn't allow it, but I can still find my way around on some offshore books. It's just great, Drake, to sit here with the NFL draft coming up. And especially when you have a draft that is going to be T-Bro as fantasy relevance. Like, I mean, wide receivers out the wazoo. There's going to be like 20 receivers drafted on the first 2 days of the NFL draft. The day two running backs they're starting to get a lot of hype on Jonathan Brooks and how teams feel about him. And then, of course, the quarterback class. Basically, every one of these quarterbacks, at least the big four quarterbacks, can move. So we're talking about guys who are going to land in spots where they're going to be able to start right away, get fantasy relevant, and, you know, it's fun to talk about where these guys might end up. There's going to be a lot of maneuvering going on here in the draft. And Tom, I know you've kind of broken down some scenarios here with some of the bets that you...
Yeah, Joe, you're completely right. You're going to be hearing that a lot on Thursday night about the record for the most offensive players selected in the first round was previously 19. I think we're going to go cruise past that on Thursday night. I believe the over-under, I don't see it up on FanDuel anymore, but it was sitting, I believe, at 20 and a half was the over under total. And the money was towards the over. So we're going to see a lot of offensive players selected. Obviously, the draft is loaded at the quarterback position up at the top. Offensive lineman is, you know, we're going to see 10, maybe 11 offensive linemen go. Receivers loaded up at the top, and even a generational type of tight end in Brock Bowers. So this is an exciting draft for fantasy football. We're going to be very busy writing it all up for the site, and breaking it down on our YouTube and on our podcast.
You mentioned that, Tom. Great segue. All 3 days of the NFL draft, we're going to be over at the fantasypoints.com YouTube's channel. It's youtube.com/fantasypoints. We're giving instant reaction to the picks. You could watch the draft along with us. We know that's what everyone does these days. You got it, you know, the draft on your screen. You got us on your phone, your laptop, your iPad, whatever it is. You know, Scott Barrett, Joe, you're going to be there for a little while. Brett Whitefield.
Maybe I'm going to be there for a lot of while, dude. Yeah, we're going to be there. I'm going to be there all night. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And by the way, make sure you subscribe to the channel.
Yes.
Just to make sure you get the notifications when we're live. We're going to have post shows, Drake. We're going to be live on Saturday. Well, I'm going to be on Sirius, but Fantasy Points is still going to be live. It's going to be wild for the NFL draft.
Absolutely. And if you guys just want to wet your whistle a little bit, I want to just give you guys the Iggy. The Guru is going to be jumping on Dynasty Points. That's right, our great new Dynasty show. Tuesday night, 9:30, Guru is going to be on there with Jacob Sanderson, Tommy Tipple, and the crew talking a Guru rookie mock draft before everything kicks off. Again, Tuesday, 9:30. Check that out over on the YouTube channel. So a lot of news came out from Schefter, and we'll get into all that. The one thing I want to lead with here, Tom, is there's some whispers out there about J.J. McCarthy and his betting odds going yesterday from plus 2,000 to now plus 1,100 to go number two overall. The betting favorite is still Jaden Daniels on FanDuel. I'm looking, he's minus 260. But whenever I hear these whispers, guys, of a player like, I'm not sure how much he really wants to go there. To me, that gives me pause. We've seen it with Eli. We saw, you know, there's John Elway. Players who don't want to be in places can find ways through their agent and back channels to say, I really don't want to be here. I don't want to draft a guy that doesn't want to be there. Is there any kind of fire behind this smoke, Tom? And would you see anything really with these odds changing? Does that sway you at all? Or is it still Jaden Daniels, number two of the Commanders?
Yeah, I actually gave out this morning. I read the Adam Schefter piece, and I had been leaning heavily towards Jaden Daniels going second overall. And I gave it out at minus 143 for him to be the second quarterback drafted. Those odds have disappeared here as the afternoon has gone on here. Even Peter Schrager, not Schrager, Daniel Jeremiah was on the Pat McAfee show this afternoon, basically saying, echoing the same things that Adam Schefter was saying. Everybody in the league is saying it's Jaden Daniels, number two overall. So last week we saw some money flip. Daniels was up like minus 200 and like back up in this range, this minus 200, minus 250 range. Got down to basically a coin flip between him and Drake May to be the second overall pick. After the agent tweets out the thinking face emoji to a Mike Florio tweet about having the four quarterbacks in visiting at the same time. The agent has backtracked a little bit off of it as well. You know, just saying he would have rather had, you know, his player, Jaden Daniels, you know, just a one-on-one visit. So, I think they're cooling off of that a little bit. And at the end of the day, there's plenty of other quarterbacks here. I think the Commanders are going to take the guy that they like the most. And, the tea leaves have kind of been there all along here, but we have a couple more days. Maybe we'll get some more information. And teams have been just in general more tight-lipped over the last year or two. Even last year, teams were. I have to wonder. There's, you know, been some, you know, kind of thinking out there that you know, maybe the whole betting aspect of, you know, the NFL is now in bed with the gambling side of things, and we've had seen some players get suspended. We saw some players last week get their indefinite suspensions. You know, they got reinstated, so. There is some talk there that, you know, the league basically told these teams, hey, let's keep the leaking of information down a little bit.
Well, we're not going to be tight-lipped. They say the draft starts at pick number four. When we come back in 1 second, Joe Dolan's going to break down what he thinks happened when, quote unquote, the draft begins at four. Back on the other side.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Joe, I keep hearing this old terminology. It's so cliche. The Arizona's open for business at 4. Everybody's open for business. What are we talking
about? Patriots, you have to listen.
This is so dumb. If you make an offer to a team and it's legit, and we know Arizona's going to move up and down. They did more than anybody last year. Like, yes, you're going to make that trade. But, Joe, let me ask you this. If they're so open for business, and I think the Giants want to move up for a quarterback, I think – we know the Vikings need a quarterback. Denver needs a quarterback. What do you think happens at this four?
It's very hard for me to break this down entirely because let's look at the consensus big board. Separating positional value, which obviously is why Caleb Williams is going to be the first overall pick and Jaden Daniels is going to be the second. Who knows what's going to happen at 3. Drake, I would push back a little bit on the cliche. I actually think the draft begins at 3 because the Patriots, Adam Schefter was reporting today, they could be like last year's Cardinals, or they move back and then they move back up depending on,
They have no talent whatsoever.
We talked about it last week, but there's another team I like to potentially do that a little bit closer to the middle of the first round. But the Cardinals, the thing is, how often do you have the number 4 pick in the draft and might be able to get the guy who's number 1 on consensus? Mm-hmm. And that's a really hard thing for me to overlook because it's Marvin Harrison Jr. is the consensus number 1 pick. Number 1 guy on big board. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are some teams who prefer Malik Nabers. That's what we've heard. But Marvin Harrison is generally regarded as a wartless prospect. And he's at a position of need for this. Their number 1 receiver right now is Michael Wilson. Their number 2 is Greg Dortch. Basically, their best receiver is Trey McBride. You need that wide receiver. And I think it's going to be very easy for Montney Ossenfort sitting there to say, let's just take the player. That being said, if they have Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze very similarly listed on their big boards, or just a slight tier drop off, you're going to be able to trade back to 6 with the Giants and get one of those guys anyway, guaranteed, unless you have 2 of them and then the 3rd a big drop off from that. And that's where you've got to learn, what are the Chargers doing at 5? Because the Chargers are, Jim Harbaugh is a complete wild card. All right, the guy orders whole milk at a steakhouse. So he can do whatever he wants. It would not shock me at all if Jim Harbaugh says, we're staying put and we're drafting an offensive tackle, and that's that. And he said, that's how we want to build our team. They could trade out of that pick as well. So what the Chargers are going to do is what's going to be, and if Monty Ossenfort has a good read on what the Chargers are going to do, I think that makes it particularly interesting for them. I don't know, Tom, what you think Arizona is up to. I still think Arizona drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably my favorite, is probably where I would lean for them. But again, this is a team that doesn't have a whole lot of talent on the defensive side of the football. Heck, quite frankly, they don't have a whole lot of talent on the offensive side of the football either. They could go just about anywhere, and drafting the best player in Marvin Harrison makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I know, but you know, it's been kind of made fun of a little bit today, but I do think them like going out and say this pick is for sale here. We got a bunch of teams here that we have the Giants potentially. We have the Denver Broncos, although that looks a little less today after they make a trade for Zach Wilson. Maybe, you know, that is kind of a signal that maybe they're not going to be too active moving up. And we discussed that last time that they don't exactly have a lot of draft capital to make a lot of big moves, but we also have the Raiders, and then we have the Vikings sitting there with two first-round picks. So this isn't a situation even just like a couple years ago where the 49ers, they just gave the farm to the Dolphins right away. They got the pick. They got situated at number three and knew they were going to get one of those quarterbacks. The Cardinals are sitting there. Hey, we're having three or four teams compete here. Maybe one of them blows us away. We move back. As you said, Joe, if they move back to six, you would think the team that's trading up, the Giants are moving up to take J.J. McCarthy or Drake May at number four. So that means you're going to get one of the two, maybe you're not getting Marvin Harrison at five, but you could still get Malik Nabers at six. So
yeah,
if they have those two guys tiered very closely, then that makes a lot of sense. Heck, we saw last draft, they traded back and they moved back into number six to get their Paris Johnson. So yeah, they could move back if the Vikings trade up and, they're sitting at 11 and maybe they use that package to move on back up to, seven or eight or wherever it is to make sure they get one of those big three wide receivers. So I thought it was a little bit interesting as well today with the Patriots. It seemed, pretty locked in at this point. I mean, Robert Kraft is basically, he wants a damn quarterback at number three overall. And after the Cardinals stuff came out today that the pick is up for sale, the Patriots started floating it out there. Maybe through Diana Rossini here. They're trying to maybe, hey, if we get the Godfather offer, maybe, some team offers us four or five first-round picks, maybe we'll sell that third overall pick. But it sure seems like they're going to sit and take a quarterback at this point because the owner sure as hell wants a quarterback. So we got some posturing going on up here at the top. There certainly feels like there is going to be a big move here in the top five. The McCarthy line, it's been set at 5.5, his draft position, and it's sure the closer the draft gets here, it sure feels like he's going to go in these top five picks.
It really is crazy with these. So if we look at who's listed on FanDuel to go third overall, the betting favorite is Drake May. If you look back at Schefter's article, the Patriots are linked to May. The Vikings in this article say they're also high on Drake May, who was coached in high school. I didn't even realize this by their new QB coach, Josh McCown, which is a really interesting point here. But if we say he's going to go in that third hole to either New England or whoever it is, New England can't play the game, Joe, where they trade down too far because they're going to miss out and now they're going to be holding the bag. And now they're looking at like Michael Penix as their quarterback if they trade down too far. I don't think you can play this game of chicken if you're New England.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Of the top teams in this draft, okay, which of these teams has the worst roster? Ryan Poles has made some mistakes with the Bears, but the Bears don't have the worst roster. They have a lot of offensive
talent.
They're
loaded. They're loaded.
Washington's got some good defensive players. Obviously, decent. They need some help on the offensive line. Most teams do. But you've got Brian Robinson in the backfield. They signed Eckler. They've got a couple of receivers. They've got options. The Giants on offense suck, but they have good defensive line talent. So at least there's something there. They've also got Andrew Thomas, who's a franchise left tackle. The New England Patriots are the team that I think could justify the most kicking the can down the road because that team freaking sucks, guys. They blow. And the other thing that is really just gnawing at me is the Minnesota Vikings have two first. If the Minnesota Vikings do not come out of this first round with a quarterback, I would be stunned, and I'd be more stunned, Tom, if it isn't one of the big four, including McCarthy in there. The Minnesota Vikings, I don't think, are standing pat and drafting Michael Penix. I don't think that's happening. So which team probably would benefit the most from picking up those multiple first-round picks? In my opinion, it's the New England Patriots because they need talent. They need it across the board. They need it on offense. They need it on defense. So I feel like that is the spot where the Patriots could really trade back, justify that, get some offensive linemen, get a receiver, get multiple offensive linemen, hell, middle of the first round, and just justify that because their roster is no good. Oh, and by the way, Jacoby Brissett is going to be able to keep that ship afloat, at least for a little bit. He's like the airtight doors on the Titanic, keep it afloat for a couple of hours, 90 minutes at most. Mr. Andrews. So I think that's a justifiable move, in my opinion, Tom. The Patriots trading back from three. I know their fans don't want to hear that. And if they stand pat and take the quarterback, then they stood pat and took the quarterback. I can't argue against that too much either. But they have the best incentive, I think, of any of these teams to trade down. Because while the Cardinals could also benefit from those multiple first-round picks, the Cardinals could be sitting there and saying, screw it. The Patriots just traded back. Well, we'll just take the best player in the draft, and that's Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, it does feel like there has been some momentum here for Michael Penix as a first-round pick. He's certainly moved up, and I'm starting to see him, like, you know, mocked into that 11, 12, 13 range.
He's way ahead of Bo Nix on the draft, yes, that, on the prop markets right now.
That has really flipped over here the last week or two. Bo Nix is... you know, draft position prop is, you know, juiced heavily towards the over now. You know, he was sitting 32.5, which is obviously, you know, right after the first round. And, you know, he's like minus 300 to go outside of the first round at this point now. And Michael Penix is a favorite to go in the first round at this point. And the prop for over 4.5 quarterbacks is, you know, minus 250 at a lot of places now. So, I think there is some momentum building for Penix. The medicals obviously are a little concerning with the two torn ACLs, but it seems like teams aren't nearly as afraid of it as, you know, they may have been in the past. But also his age is also a factor, but it does feel like he is going to go in the first round here at some point. So I would be surprised if the Vikings aren't the ones that move up at some point, but maybe they would be content to use both those first round picks, draft Penix at 11 or 23, and use the extra pick to build around them. But I still feel like they are most likely the team that trades up, and they're still sitting at plus 170 to select JJ McCarthy. So they are still the favorite to be the team that drafts him.
Well, I want to get into who we think goes where. Remember, folks, when you're drafting, or excuse me, when you're betting over a place like FanDuel, we mentioned this last time, you're betting a lot of times on the position. So it's not necessarily, oh, the Giants are at six. Well, if they trade, you know, that it's gonna skew things a little bit. So we're looking at overall position. And when we come back, I want to put these guys' feet to the fire. Who is going off the board in that all-important number six spot currently held by the New York Giants? We know they need a quarterback, but if Malik Nabers is there, how do you let him go? All that and more on the other side. Hang tight. Fellas, the New York Giants have an interesting roster. Gone is Saquon Barkley. We're paying all this money to Daniel Jones. There's not a lot of talent really anywhere on this offense. This regime needs to get it right at the quarterback. Okay. I think they can get out of Daniel Jones after this year. We've seen teams eat big dead money contracts. That's not the end of the world. If we were to say, hey, at number six, right, let's take JJ McCarthy and sit him for a year or whenever the Giants are mathematically out of it, which, you know, who knows, could be around Thanksgiving. Now we get JJ in there. Would you take JJ at plus 550? Joe, I'll start with you. Or you got Malik Nabers here. You have no talent on the outside. You might not have a tight end anymore with Darren Waller. How do you pack that up when you're still paying big money to Daniel Jones? I mean, there's a lot on the table here for New York at number six.
Again, this is one of those teams that could do whatever. And also on the table, by the way, for the New York Giants, Tom, in kind of like a lowercase version of what I just talked about with the Patriots, is if the Giants are unable to trade up to go get one of the quarterbacks, if that's what they want to do, they could decide, hey, look, our opportunity passed us. Minnesota was able to outbid us because Minnesota has two first-round picks this year. They were just able to outbid us. The Giants could maybe be a team that trades back a little bit and accrues some talent because they're a team that needs talent. But I still think the most likely scenario here for the New York Giants is, look, Mr. Mara historically, you know, doesn't try to rock the boat. You know, I think the most likely thing is they try to go into the season with Daniel Jones as the starting quarterback with Malik Nabers. I think the most likely scenario is.
I'm right there with you, Joe. I don't see them trading. I think they have been devoid of a top talent wide receiver since Odell Beckham's injury stuff started to happen. And it's been a long time. So, I know Daniel Jones is not the guy, but he also really hasn't, you know, he's been playing with less than a full deck of cards here. Let's go get him this top flight wide receiver. You know, if it probably is Malik Nabers, or maybe it's Marvin Harrison, if something crazy happens. And
I could prefer Odunze though, Tom. And that's something we don't really know, because maybe that's just the guy they like better, but Malik Nabers is the betting favorite to be the sixth pick.
Yeah. And that, you know, Malik Nabers, hey, you know, if Daniel Jones, they get the final answer to, you know, like every, you know, we have 95% of the quiz already completed. We find out completely this year that Daniel Jones is out of the picture next year. Malik Nabers will still be there, or Rome Odunze, or Marvin Harrison for the next quarterback that they bring in through the draft, or through free agency. So I think that's the way to go here. You know, we tried to piece it together with Darren Waller as the lead receiver last year. Those hamstrings couldn't hold up, and we had all these slot wide receivers that they kept adding last offseason, and just a terrible collection of receivers here. Let's get that top wide receiver at the top of the draft here. Let's get a foundational piece for our offense for the next, you know, 10 to 15 years here, with the number six overall pick. And let's get that top flight wide receiver. That's personally where I think the Giants are going to go, but, you know, we'll see if they make a move up to number four.
Tom, do you see any value on Odunze being the pick there? I'm looking at DraftKings odds. At the number six pick, Nabers is the favorite at +150. Odunze is +250 to be that pick. Is there any value whatsoever in saying, you know what, I'm going to actually put the money on Odunze in the event that the Giants prefer him? Or is that just not a big enough gap where you're willing to go against the grain and against what the general sentiment is about Malik Nabers?
Yeah, it's not a big enough. I think for me, we kind of have a big three at the receiver position, but I think it's kind of tiered pretty distinctly though. I think Marvin Harrison, Nabers, and then Odunze. And if this scenario kind of plays out the way we're thinking, that one of these teams trades up into the top five and Marvin Harrison is gone, you have your choice of Nabers and Odunze, but I get the impression that the Giants probably are leaning a little more towards Nabers here. Just reading stuff and going through everything in the last couple of weeks. So I would be inclined not to go with Odunze there. I would lean towards the neighbor side of this.
Joe Shane, the general manager there, man, he runs a much tighter ship than Dave.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I remember even just like the Saquon draft. I mean, there was just tons of
everybody knew they were taking Saquon. Everybody knew they were taking Daniel Jones. Now, where they took DJ, I think people were a little confused. And then everybody on planet Earth.
If you remember back to that draft, that was that Belichick apparently wanted Daniel Jones so badly in that draft. So they made sure they didn't want to wait until later in the draft. So they made sure to, you know, that's why it was seen as a bit of a reach, but and they wanted to make sure they get their quarterback ahead of Bill Belichick in that draft.
Everybody knew they wanted DeVonta Smith in 2021, and the Cowboys and Eagles swung the trade. And let me tell you, the Eagles got DeVonta Smith and the Cowboys got Micah Parsons. The Giants ended up with Kadarius Toney. So let's see who got the short end of the stick in that one.
Yeah. After that situation, we're shutting our lips here.
And Joe Shane, that's kind of a Giant beat writer's thing here, is like, nobody knows what Joe Shane's doing here. Like, so that they are a fascinating team. Like Arizona, yeah, they're fascinating, but like ultimately, I think Arizona, they could just stand pat and just take the best player in the draft. And then you have two complete lunatic teams back to back with the Chargers and the Giants. The Chargers because Jim Harbaugh is actually a lunatic, and the Giants because I don't think Joe Shane's a lunatic, but he could do literally anything, and it wouldn't surprise me at this stage, including trading back. But I'm with you. I think, Drake, the most likely scenario is the Giants pick six. They draft Malik Nabers. They try to run it back with Daniel Jones. Maybe he's got like a Baker Mayfield resurgent season in him. Could you imagine Giant fans if they sign him to another contract after this season? But look, Daniel Jones has flashed in the past, and he didn't have opportunity to flash these past couple of years because the roster.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to put some money down on JJ McCarthy to go number six overall. Could it be to the Giants? Remember, the Giants flirted with Russell Wilson this offseason. They've done a ton of pre-draft prep on these other quarterbacks. $22 million next year, dead cap, to get out underneath Daniel Jones. In this day and age, that's not a ton. is what we see all these other guys doing. So I'm going to put a little long shot money there on JJ McCarthy at 6 to the Giants. It gets kind of boring, guys. Tennessee, Atlanta, with those picks, everyone kind of thinks they know where those teams are going with Joe Alt and then Atlanta.
Well, let's back off here, Drake. I know where this is the Fantasy Points podcast, but Tom, it is basically a complete toss up right now as to which edge rusher the Falcons are going to take.
Yeah, and I actually think, I think 8's kind of interesting, Joe. And it's all going to depend. You know, if we see the four quarterbacks go in the top, I think we're going to see, two of the receivers go. And it really feels like Alt feels like he's been the, outside of Caleb Williams, obviously, kind of the locked in guy. Like, he's like minus 140 to go 7th overall. One of those like elite prospect and an elite need for the Titans. And it's like a perfect scheme fit.
The Titans have plugged like all their they've plugged all their offensive holes, right?
Yes, except for that one big one.
and
maybe Joe Alt is a big guy to fill that plug.
And maybe Will Levis is a hole, but the Titans are being prudent here. They're trying to figure out if Will Levis is a hole or if they have something there.
Which makes 8 like kind of an interesting spot to the Dallas Turner has been kind of locked in as the Falcons pick here for a long time. I gave out a couple of weeks ago, Latu, from UCLA, major medical concerns, but, everybody's best pass rusher in the draft. He's like I saw Brian Baldinger, was breaking him down, over the weekend and compared him to TJ Watt. But he's got major connections to, the Atlanta Falcons. A coaching staff, Jimmy Lake was his recruiter, and he coached him at Washington. A perfect fit for Raheem Morris' defense as that kind of, stand-up edge defender. And so there's been a lot of juice over the last week that and now Latu is basically even with Dallas Turner to be that pick. But the Falcons are kind of sitting in a good spot here if McCarthy goes in that top range here. And we do think there's a teardrop at wide receiver. I also gave out Roma Dunze plus 750 to be the 8th overall pick, thinking that we got the Jets sitting at 10. Even the Bears, we saw the Bears trade move one spot last year in the top 10. Maybe they just move up one spot to make sure they get Roma Dunze at number 8, give Caleb Williams that guy. So I think 8 could be a little bit of an interesting spot. And the Falcons, if they're thinking, hey, we're going to have our pick of some good defenders, even if we slide down a couple of spots, we can still get a Latu or Turner. Byron Murphy is another guy whose name has been gaining a lot of buzz here this over this past week. So 8 could be an interesting little pivot spot if we do see McCarthy go early and the board kind of falls with two of the wide receivers going and Alt going 7th overall.
I wanted to talk about what Brett Whitefield said about Latu because I edited his profile today. Quote, to say that he has the most developed pass rush chops among the edge rushers in the class would be a massive understatement. He might even have the most developed pass rush arsenal I have seen in 10 draft cycles. Whew. It is incredibly rare for a player to have this many levels in his game. Blah, 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 blah. Not blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of information in here. But like, and here's what Brett said. I can only go off the tape and data profile. I have slightly dinged him for his injury history, but he can only slightly ding him because he doesn't have access to the medicals. But even with that, he scores inside my top 10 overall and should be in the conversation for the first defensive player drafted. Tom, without the injury history, he is a top 3 pick in most drafts by pure talent level, is what Brett Whitefield said about Latu. Wow. And when you look at like football guys around the NFL,
everybody loves them.
They're going to fall in love with this guy and they are going to turn a trick on the corner to try to get their doctor's name. That's what I feel. So I like your bet. I saw you lay that down. We've had discussions with people around the league who are like, this medical situation is real. We also know there are going to be people who aren't going to give a flying shit about it because look at what happened with DK Metcalf a couple years ago. The Eagles wouldn't greenlight DK Metcalf. They took JJ Arcega-Whiteside. Okay. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. But if you're going to look at the traits, Latu's the best pass rusher in this class. Okay.
Yeah.
So that is an interesting guy to be the first defensive player draft.
Yep. I gave that out last week. A lot of the books have taken it down, but I still think they're, a top 10 pick is out there. I gave that as well at plus 170. So We'll see. It was a major surgery. It was the Peyton Manning surgery. He had the spinal fusion, but he's had, you know, two clean years since leaving Washington. So, and apparently, you know, a lot of teams weren't even very concerned about it. So it's all depending on your risk tolerance for these teams. And yeah, Latu is a special prospect without the injury concerns, which are obviously, you know, play a big part of the equation. But maybe, you know, I'm thinking maybe one of these teams in the top 10, there's a chance that maybe they just, you know, they give the green, the thumbs up, and they go with the what they see on tape.
I think, and this is kind of really wish casting down the road here, that Minnesota pick at 11 that's not going to be the Vikings. That's going to be somebody else's pick. I think that pick gets moved again, because if, let's say, there's a chance that Latu is there at 11, I think there's going to be a lot of teams in this back half of the first round that are going to say, hey, let's jump up and get our hands on this guy, because maybe that's Arizona in that spot, or New England, as we said, wants to move and accumulate a ton of picks. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him go at 11 to a edge hungry team somewhere.
Yeah, his draft position prop has really been falling over the last couple of days. And mm-hmm. I think he's, let me pull it up here. He's at 16.5, and the money's going towards the under. He, you know, that was just a couple of days ago, was like 18.5 with the money going towards the over. So he's picking up a lot of steam over the last.
I got to ask you guys about the Jets. They're hanging out at 10. Smart money, or a smart person would just say, you know what? You've got a bunch of guys with the AARP cards on one-year deals at tackle. You might even bring in Bakhtiari, and he's not going to play well on that turf. You got a chance. You might be able to get a tackle here. But I keep hearing, we're going to take Odunze, we're going to take Brock Bowers and all this. What in the world would you guys do with this number 10 spot with the Jets? Bowers right now is the money favorite at plus 145.
I mean, I would probably go with Bowers. I mean, he's a generational type of prospect at the tight end position. You make your quarterback very happy. We know he's, he's prone to have different moods, and you go out and get him a player of, you know, after the catch kind of a receiver in Brock Bowers, that would make any quarterback happy. But as I said earlier, I think they're potentially candidates to slide up a few picks if Rome Odunze slides a little bit. Offensive line is obviously still a concern. They patched it together a little bit here, but Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses are, you know, older type of tackles. So, you know, how long are you going to count on those guys to stay healthy? So they could go a number of different directions here. Personally, I hope they go Bowers, but we'll see how it kind of plays out.
Offensive lineman on DraftKings is the favorite to be the Jets pick, plus 115. I think that opens up the possibility, Tom, right, for all the possibilities. You stay put, you take Olu Fashanu, you take the kid from Oregon State, you could take, or the Jets could trade back and take one of the tackles who maybe falls a little bit. You know, maybe they trade back a bunch of spots and take Amarius Mims, the kid from Georgia, who might be the most gifted of every tackle in this class, but he started like two games in his life. So maybe they're like, hey, we'll bring in the project because we signed Tyron Smith and we signed Morgan Moses, and those guys are going to start regardless if they have a polished offensive lineman. So that opens up the opportunity for the Jets to trade back. That is actually the betting favorite for their first pick. But tight end is there at plus 145, and Drake, wide receiver, is plus 230. Those are the only odds for the Jets to draft a player with their first pick shorter than 25-1. So literally, if it's not an offensive lineman, tight end, or wide receiver, it is almost certainly not happening for the New York Jets. They are going to add on the offensive side of the football. And given the fact that how good their defense was last year, probably the right move.
If you guys are wondering, hey, who are these great guys we're talking to? Where can I read more of their work? Make sure you're following our guest, Tom Brawley, on the old Twitter machine. Again, it's not X. At Tom Brawley, his great article, Brawley's Best Bets, is up over at fantasypoints.com. Some great free articles. You can see some of the best bets that he's given out. Even, you know, like you said, he gave one out earlier this morning on the second quarterback.
I'll be looking over all these. I'm like, these numbers are dancing around my head at this point. I've been looking at these for three solid weeks here now. And we're getting down to the nitty gritty, but I'm sure I'm going to find another bet or two. So Make sure to continue to check out the best bets and the draft prop articles. I'll continue to update those over the next couple of days.
Joe's at FG underscore Dolan. And Joe, I can't wait to hear you over on the YouTube page. Again, youtube.com/fantasypoints. All 3 days of the NFL draft, we're going to be live talking about the picks, giving a fantasy reaction. There's going to be post shows. Joe's going to be there. He's going to be on SiriusXM. It's going to be unbelievable. Make sure you're subscribed to our Fantasy Points YouTube channel. Joe, I can't wait to hear your reaction when, you know, finally we get through all these quarterbacks, we get through all these rando teams, the Denvers of the world, the Las Vegases of the world, even teams like Seattle, who I think might be looking at a player like Michael Penix. Because these rosters, Joe, and these GMs, they tell you in advance what these teams want to do. If you only have one, you know, quarterback on your roster, like the Patriots do, if you have really terrible quarterbacks, you know, if Jared Stidham is in line to take snaps for you, that's not a good thing. So when you're sitting here on the Fantasy Points YouTube channel and we get past those teams, we get to the end of the bad teams and we get to the playoff teams, Joe, what do you think is going to stick out in your mind most from this first round? Is anything going to surprise you?
Surprise. I've gotten past the time of being surprised with what teams really do in the NFL draft. Let's see. What could be a surprise? The Eagles drafting a wide receiver might be a surprise, even though I think they need one. But I think Absolutely. The Eagles drafting a wide receiver would they're more of a day two or day three team at that position for me. But I wouldn't be stunned if they did. You skipped over one team that we talked about on last week's podcast, and I'm going to talk about it on this week's podcast because they made a trade today for Zach Wilson. That's the Denver Broncos. All right. Zach Wilson has a big arm and he can move. Okay. That's always going to get a guy a shot in the NFL. Zach Wilson, you cannot go into the year with Zach Wilson as your starting quarterback. Look at the roster that the Denver Broncos have. Their best receiver is Cortland Sutton. He's unhappy with his contract. And I'll be honest, if Cortland Sutton's the best receiver on your team, you need a wide receiver. Denver is fascinating because Denver does not have a second round pick. Bo Nix, his draft position rate, I think he's plus odds to be drafted in the first round, Tom.
Yes, he is.
Plus 180.
It's getting worse, too. Every passing day, it's getting more and more likely he's going in the second round, at least odds-wise.
What are the chances that the Denver Broncos and Sean Payton, who I still am surprised he took this hack job of a team, this job trying to rebuild Russell Wilson, which we all knew was going to end poorly, what are the chances that the Broncos are sitting there at 12? They clearly don't have the ammo. The Broncos trading up for a quarterback would be stupid, okay? They don't have any talent on this. What are the chances the Broncos are sitting there at 12? Brock Bowers falls a little bit, okay? The Jets passed on Brock Bowers to take an offensive lineman. Maybe there's a team who really likes Michael Penix. What are the odds that the Broncos trade back, for recoup some extra picks, and then use some of those picks to go get Bo Nix in the back end of the first round or early second round? Could that be a scenario where the Broncos don't draft a quarterback with their first pick, but end up with an early quarterback in this draft? Because the Broncos need just about everything. So I'm looking at Denver as a team that they could trade back, try to accrue some talent here, try to accrue some picks. Still, if they like Bo Nix, make that pick at the quarterback position. I think it would be malpractice if Denver stuck at 12, given the state of their.
Yeah, they can use all the picks that they can possibly get here in this draft. I saw you even retweeted somebody that noted that Cortland Sutton was not part of their jersey reveal today. It was Marvin Mims. Cortland Sutton skipped the start of
trade Cortland Sutton. Like, get a.
Yeah, I'm sure they're trying to
for him. You know, like
they're trying to get anything for him. So. That is certainly a possibility. That is actually one of the props I gave out last week. Just because the quarterback was the overwhelming favorite, not overwhelming, but the odds on favorite, yeah, they were like minus 110, minus 120 to select a quarterback with their first pick. And it just didn't really add up in my head. You know, they don't really have the ammunition to trade up to get one of those top four quarterbacks. Are they really going to, draft Bo Nix 12th overall? I'm with you, Joe. I think it's probably more likely that they stay and pick at 12 and they don't take Bo Nix, or they trade back and maybe accrue a couple more picks for later in the draft. So
yeah, draft an offensive lineman. And yes, then,
and that's, you know, what, so I gave up, Joe. Plus 1,100 for offensive lineman. And this in the mock drafts, they're about like 18 or 20% chance of selecting offensive line.
This was me trying to thread the needle of understanding that some team is going to draft Bo Nix likely in the top 50 picks of the draft, right? Like, quarterbacks fall. There are some guys who quarterbacks fall every year, quarterbacks rise every year, but Bo Nix is probably going to be drafted because of his profile. Guys who start a lot of college games have had a lot of success in the NFL recently. Brock Purdy, you know, among the recent success stories at that position. I was just trying to thread the needle of Denver understanding, and this was before the Zach Wilson trade, but that doesn't really move the needle for me. Trying to thread the needle, two different kinds of guests, of them getting a quarterback who could potentially be the player that carries them into the future, while also understanding that it's probably not prudent in a draft where you're not likely to be in range to draft one of the top four quarterbacks in the class. When you have a crappy roster around him, understanding that it's not prudent to spend your 12th overall pick on a guy who's the fifth best guy at his own position. I just don't see that happening. And I think the Broncos are more likely to trade out of that pick than to do that. And remember, circling this all back, they don't have the ammunition to trade up. They just don't. Minnesota's got more. There's teams picking ahead of them who have more ammunition. They just don't have the ammunition to move up. So to me, trading back is the best move for the Broncos. Draft an offensive lineman. And if you want Bo Nix, you're going to have something that you acquired in that trade that you can maybe go get him with.
And Joe, this kind of goes back to the little conversation we had at the beginning about the Patriots. Should they trade out or, you know, stay and pick? Now we got the Broncos, I think, has a worse roster than the Patriots at this point. And we're picking at 12th. We're going to be drafting a quarterback that's significantly worse than the options that the Patriots are going
to
have at 3.
Setting them up to fail.
Yeah, setting up Bo Nix or Michael Penix or whoever they select at number 12 overall out of those quarterbacks. I mean, that would be a tough situation to be put in. But, I mean, it's certainly still on the board here. I mean, we'll see. Michael Penix is the one that's certainly picking up steam. And, Brian, you were asking about surprises. I think that's going to be wherever Michael Penix goes in the first round. And, it's seeming more and more likely. I think that will probably be because J.J. McCarthy's kind of been the guy that's risen and been a lot of the pre-draft, dominated the talk. And that's still obviously going to be a lot of the talk on Thursday, but wherever Michael Penix goes, we haven't had nearly that much talk on him. And I think it's that wherever he ends up is going to be the major talk. And Seattle could be an interesting spot. I know we talked about them a little bit.
Hold that thought there, Tom, because I think we've got the landing spot for Michael Penix. And I'm going to tell you where Courtland Sutton gets traded and why right after this. All right, guys, we were talking before the break about a possible trade of Courtland Sutton and what that could look like. Courtland Sutton has 2 years left on his contract. He makes $13 million a year. In 25, he makes $13.5 million. Okay, not the craziest thing in the world. You know who needs a receiver, a big outside X? The Buffalo Bills. The Bills have multiple fours, multiple fives, and I think with that contract, if they could pick that up and absorb it, they don't have a ton of dough, but do you think you could get Courtland Sutton for a fourth and a fifth if you flip that over to Denver to try to bolster their roster a little bit?
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. I'm not a big Courtland Sutton guy.
No,
but I don't think the rest of the leg is either.
I can see him being
the kind of guy that like Josh Allen likes because he can go up and get the football. I mean, that would be one where like, well, I don't love Courtland Sutton, but the Bills just had to give up a couple of day three picks for him, and it makes sense for the Broncos because they need picks. Drake, you actually found a spot where Courtland Sutton might actually make sense to me.
Courtland Sutton in that scenario, I guarantee you, will become like a fourth round pick in fantasy drafts.
Oh, well, I won't be drafting him there, but like, because the Bills will then still draft a wide receiver because they need one. Outside of like the Commanders, the Bears, and like the Patriots, is there any team that has shorter odds for their first position drafted than Buffalo right now? For a team to be like minus 300 at the end of the first round to draft a player at a position, that's kind of wild, man. Because
this is a good exercise. New Orleans Saints, can you guess the position there? I'm sure you guys can. There's some talk about this guy not being able to be playing this year, Ryan Ramczyk.
Offensive
they're
linemen.
They're like right up there with the Bills. They're now minus 400.
Well, they completely blew the Trevor Penning pick.
Covering up a mistake from a previous draft. They had some guys walking in free agency, and you know they still haven't signed Andres Pete. So outside of the Saints,
the Titans, screwed. I would guess, are the Titans.
Yeah, but they're up at the top of the draft.
They're at the top where it's easier to predict. Yeah,
talking more of the middle of the first round to late first round. But you're right. It's after the Saints. Yeah, the Bills are right up there in terms of like a position of need, and they're gonna spend that pick. Obviously, this is a good draft for the offensive line for the Saints and wide receivers for the Bills. But the Bills are gonna be the odds. There was a lot of talk, even just like last week, that they could trade up and select Brian Thomas Jr. But just monitoring these draft positions, Brian Thomas Jr.'s draft position has been slipping a little bit this last week. His pick, he was like 16.5, and don't know what he's at now. He was like 18.5, 19.5. He's 19.5 now on FanDuel, and the over is significantly juiced to -166. So a prospect that is losing some steam, after that top three. Brian Thomas has kind of been that number four, but he's even losing a little bit of steam here the last couple of days.
I probably wouldn't trade up for the fourth best guy at a position like that. That's something that I'm generally against, but I wonder if I could see that from Buffalo or Kansas City if Brian Thomas does slip the way that you're talking, right? Like, oh, instead of moving up 10 spots, we only have to move up 5 now to make that, and then you could start talking yourself into it. Drake, you were going somewhere with Penix, right? Like,
I was going to bring that up with the Seattle. They're kind of the sneaky under the radar team with Michael Penix. Brian Grubb was his offensive coordinator at Washington. He took the Seattle job. He's going to be one of the most interesting guys. I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about that offense this summer, just because he's a great unknown, and he was doing great things at Washington. But obviously he has the connection with Penix. Just throwing a little crumb out there. Maybe, they were one of those teams. Are they going to cut Geno Smith? And they ended up deciding to keep him around. Do they go, hey, let's draft Penix and let's move Geno Smith to one of these Raiders or Broncos or one of these teams that need a quarterback here and they don't get the guy in the draft.
That would be so dumb from the Broncos. I don't think that would be dumb for the Raiders because I think the Raiders are in a little bit better position. That would be.
Like Geno's it's more of like a 1 year type of deal. Yeah, but anyway,
why would the Broncos trade for Geno? Is my thing. Like the Raiders are getting them for Devontae kind of free. The Raiders have Devontae Adams, right? Like if I'm the Broncos, I don't get one of these quarterbacks. Like, fuck it, just start Jarrett Stidham, right? Like, just
suck for hearing.
The Raiders won't do that, but like that's the thing with Seattle, because like I look at Seattle and quite frankly, Tom, there are teams that need quarterbacks more than the Seahawks do. Like Geno obviously is a guy who has been resurgent with the Seahawks. Some up and down. More recently they traded for Sam Howell, who put some good moments on tape, and then the Commanders had him dropping back 87 times a game and shattered his confidence, but he has some moments on tape, so you don't view them as a quarterback needy team. But if they draft Penix and then are able to move Geno,
then
all of a sudden it looks a little interesting there. So
I would have to look up the ages. I think Sam Howell's actually younger than Penix. I would have to look it up.
Well, that was like
Howell was pretty young coming into the draft, if I remember. He was like 21, and Penix is like 24. So, I think Penix might actually be older than Sam Howell.
Penix is older than Sam Howell. Penix turns 24 in May. Sam Howell turns 24 in September.
Okay, there you go.
I thought it was like last year when the Packers drafted Sean Clifford, and they were like, oh, that was interesting. And then somebody said, why would they – Penn State guy. I'm a Penn State guy. So are you, Tom. But so why would Packers do that? And I said, well, they needed a veteran for Jordan Love, because Sean Clifford's older than Jordan Love. It looks like Penix is getting the first round juice now. He, to me, and this is just to these untrained eyes, in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, he threw the ball better than Bo Nick. I didn't think it was very close.
Yeah, I don't think there was any question. I mean, if we're, just a pure passer, like he throws a tight little ball and, just a pure arm. I think Penix is right up there with anybody. It all comes down to his age and, the health of those two knees, but the two torn ACLs. So, but he throws a pretty ball.
I was just looking up the contract numbers here on Geno Smith. He doesn't make a ton of dough. He only makes 12.7 this year. His dead cap, though, in 2024 is nearly $40 million. So tough to move on from him this year. You brought up another name, Joe, that I'm fascinated with, because one of the questions I was going to ask you guys is, we've seen players like A.J. Brown get traded on draft day. And there's always whispers of, hey, could T. Higgins maybe get moved? Or we just talked about Cortland Sutton. You brought up Davante Adams. We know his displeasure with the way that the Raiders franchise is going. After 2024, he has no guaranteed money left on his contract. Is Davante Adams possibly a guy that you could see getting moved? And that was going to be my next question. Just Davante, T. Higgins, one of these receivers. Do you see anybody getting moved on draft day? But you piqued my interest with the Davante.
The thing that's interesting here is the trade prices that we saw this offseason. Guys were not getting moved for first-round picks the way A.J. Brown and Hollywood Brown were a couple of. So it would have to be a blockbuster, I think, for one of these guys to get moved for a first-round pick. I don't think T. Higgins is getting moved for a first-round pick. Like, I just don't see that happening. There's only one guy,
I think, and that's Brandon Ayuk. I think he would I think he would fetch a first rounder, and obviously his name has been in trade talks all off season long here, and they're in contract negotiations, and he's the one guy I think that has. I don't think it's going to happen, but you know, I'd put it 30% chance he gets moved first or second day of the draft. But
and then that
I think he's the one guy that fetches a first.
That becomes interesting then, because I don't want to give this, because obviously Titan fans would take back that A.J. Brown trade in a second. But like, could the 49ers, who are picking at the end of the first round, let's just say they trade Ayuk for somebody who has a pick in the 20s. Could the 49ers do the A.J. Brown, Treylon Burks thing and just like draft a wide receiver just to be like, all right, we traded Brandon Ayuk. We're not going to be able to pay him. We're going to just draft one of these. Like that. We're going to draft one of these wide receivers. I guess that could be a possibility, Tom, which would then make the 49ers their first. I'm not showing odds here on DraftKings of them to draft a player in the first round.
Plus 340 wide receiver. Offensive line is the heavy fight. Odds on favorite minus 110. Cornerback is 430 and defensive line is 430. Yeah. So they have it baked in there a little bit that if Ayuk gets moved, because that would not normally be seen as a area of weakness for their offense. It shouldn't be the second odds, but there's certainly some baked in there. Yeah. Hey, if they move Ayuk, they could certainly want to grab one of these wide receivers.
Thomas would fill in very nicely for Brandon Ayuk as a similar sort of player that can play inside, can play outside. You can move around a little bit. You've already got, you know, Debo's a freaking tank out there. It's going to be interesting. I mocked, in an article that I wrote, I rocked Thomas to Kansas City at 32 because I still think Kansas City needs another weapon on the outside. I know they've got Hollywood Brown.
You're burying the lead here, Drake.
Rice is going to get like earlier. A game suspension. Rashee Rice isn't going any like he'll be fine.
But
and they've got
right.
Kelsey, and he's old as dirt.
Kelsey's older. Rashee Rice is going to get. I think Schefter hinted at a multi-game suspension here. And obviously teams don't draft for a guy to miss three games. Okay. They don't do that, but they do still need a receiver. And let me be quite frank with you. We in fantasy football need them to draft a receiver. So we don't talk our freaking selves into Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore again this offseason. We need them to draft a wide receiver to get us off of that. Quite frankly,
minus 120. That's the leading bet right now on FanDuel is for the Kansas City Chiefs to take a wide receiver at 32 overall.
I did give that one out in Brawley's Best Bets. I also gave out Xavier Worthy. I don't know if he's still FanDuel doesn't have that prop anymore, but it was like plus 750 for him to land with the Chiefs. So I think he's still out there some other books, but it's like plus 500. So it's not nearly the same value, but obviously he's been the comp here for Tyreek Hill. Broke the 40-yard dash record at the combine. Obviously can run and would give that element of speed that this offense has kind of been lacking. They've had some fast players, but they can't catch the ball But we'll see if Xavier Worthy can do that too. But that was one little the Chiefs picking at the end of the first round.
Let's play a little trivia here, guys, because Andy Reid is he's Mr. Pass Happy, right? He's been Mr. Pass Happy since he came into the league. One, can you tell me how many times an Andy Reid coach team, head coach team, has drafted a wide receiver in the first round? Can you tell me how many times?
Never.
No, more than that.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm thinking back to old Eagles days. I mean, we had terrible, you know, the community. When you look back at the terrible receivers of the J.J. Arcega-Whitesides, whatnot, I mean, there was a lot of
Andy Reid head coach team has drafted a wide receiver in the first round twice. He has never done it with Kansas City. Can you name the two? It's two. And can you name them? There we go. This is terrible radio because there's going to be some dead air.
No, but Arcega-Whiteside was after his time, right?
Oh, he was a second round pick anyway. He was a second round.
Let me think.
The last time was in 2009.
2009. Oh.
2009 Eagle wide receiver.
He played for Andy at both of Andy's stops.
Oh, Macklin.
Jeremy Macklin was the last one. Oh,
he was great out of Missouri.
Yeah,
And the first one was in 2001. He made a legendary play, but he was a bust.
Freddie Mitchell.
There you go. There's the tip.
I thank my hands for being so great.
Yep, those are the two. Freddie Mitchell and Jeremy Macklin. So Andy Reid, for all this pass-happy crap, the guy ignores the wide receiver position.
Yeah, that's,
it's
kind
of wild. Yeah,
offensive line has been a popular spot for them with their first pick as well.
That was like part of their problem last year. And then, you know, Mahomes just became Mahomes again. They have a second year guy, Wanya Morris, who's projected to be their left tackle. So it really depends on what they think about that young.
Yeah, they're definitely adding to that offensive line at some point.
So guys, we're up about an hour here. We thank everybody for hanging and banging with us again. Go over to that YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. And if you're listening to this on a podcast form, make sure you're subscribed to the Fantasy Points podcast. My God, do we have some great stuff coming down the pike in terms of our pods for this upcoming season. Anything, guys, before we go, this back half of the first round, any surprises? Give me a bold prediction, Joe, something you think is going to go down here in the first round.
I think there is going to be a team that's going to trade back up into the first round to get Bo Nix. I just don't know who it's going to be. I think the odds on favorite is the Denver Broncos. I don't think this is a first round thing, but based on what Adam Schefter and some of the intel here has been coming, don't be surprised if a running back goes a little bit earlier than anticipating, because we've been told this running back class is dog shit but there are teams that have clear needs at the position, and there are some guys here, most notably Jonathan Brooks, who's coming off an ACL, who teams seem to really like. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, that line has been steamed heavily today. This is April 22nd. He is now the odds-on favorite to be the first running back selected. He's minus 115. A lot of thought that the Cowboys, with their second-round pick, I think it's about 56 or 57, would select him. I think they must be picking 56 because they set his over under like 56 and a half basically. Are the Cowboys going to select him at 56 or not? So that is one prop that's another one that's been on the move here based on those reports that Brooks is he's pretty significant favorite here now to go the first running back off the board.
All right, Brawley, get us out of here with a prediction from yourself here. What do you think's going to go down here? Give me a big hot take to have the listeners chew on.
Well, I don't really have one here for the back end. I'd like Xavier Worthy to go. I'd like him 32nd if he's still on the board for the Chiefs. We were just talking about them. I do think we'll have five quarterbacks go. I did say that with Penix. I do think we're going to see at least five quarterbacks go in the first round. I thought that initially, and then I kind of waned off of that. But over the last week here, I do think we're going to see five quarterbacks go in the first round. And we'll break that NFL record. We were talking about that at the beginning for offensive players selected in the first round. So it'll be a fantasy bonanza on Thursday night. We'll have I'll go with 21 offensive players selected in the first round on Thursday night.
Wow, it's going to be fun, guys. And if you're looking for something to do on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, why don't you join us over at the Fantasy Points YouTube channel? We've got all our analysts. We're going to be breaking things down as it happens, and a post-game show. You know, you're going to get NFL news. You're going to get a fantasy spin, whatever you need. It's all there. It's fun. You know how our staff rolls. It's a great time. YouTube.com/points. I can't wait, guys, to watch that show. I've got my first golf league of the year on Thursday night. I'll be putting in on the ninth hole right before the first pick goes on the air. So I'll probably be drowning my sorrows as Caleb Williams becomes a multimillionaire, but it's neither here nor there. So guys, thank you so much. Great stuff. Again, go follow Tom on Twitter at Tom Brawley. Joe is at FG_Dolan, and go over to fantasypoints.com, guys. We've got our packages up for the 2024 season. Get in with Brawley's best bets. Make yourself a little money. When you take your wife out for dinner next weekend, she'll be like, man, we're going to this fancy restaurant. Where'd this all cash come from? You go, this one's on the grinder. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
all
win right. Some money. I can't even bet on these things in Pennsylvania, so I'm doing the Lord's work here. It like pains me. I'm writing up all these bets, and I'm doing the best bets, and I gotta like get somebody to run picks for me in other states. So go over there. Hopefully your state has legal gambling on the NFL draft and have a little fun.
We got to make that into a t-shirt. It's just a guy holding out his hand and they're putting some like dollar bills into it. It says this one's on the grinder. That'd be phenomenal. So, all right, for Tom, for Joe, I'm Drake. We'll see you next time in the 2-point stance.